So it just taught me such a lesson of like hope. Like, and you know, we say God has a hope and a plan for us, but he did, but we forget sometimes that he also had a hope and a plan for Evelyn and Esther. And it's just such a perfect reminder of like, his plans are just bigger and better.
Welcome to the Storytellers Live podcast, where everyday women share stories of hope found in Jesus. I'm Robin, and I'm here with Katie and Lindy, and we are your podcast host. Y'all, this story's wild.
Listen.
We have Amanda Myers from Jackson, Mississippi, and wow.
It is like a movie. Like, get the Irwin brothers on the phone. They need to talk to Amanda. Honestly, don't want to say that much about her story because I just want the listener to be surprised at every turn. The one thing that I will say is that God's plans are so much better than anything that we could ever dream of, and he's really working all things for good for his people. You know, we just see the immediate, right? But he sees the entire picture, and I just can't wait for you to hear Amanda's story.
We also want to give you a great idea for Mother's Day gifts and for graduation gifts. Check out the shop on our website at storytellerslive.org. We have the cutest scripture cards with acrylic stands. They make a perfect gift for anyone that is maybe graduating, like we said. I'm getting a couple of packs for my sister and my mom for Mother's Day, and they are $20 each and with a pack of 15 different verses. They are beautiful. So go check them out at storytellerslive.org. And here's Amanda.
I've been working mama and wife since I was 18 years old. Actually, when I graduated college, the first thing my dad said to me is, can you just get a job and quit having babies? So I've done that. That's all I remember that I've been. But in about 2016, we were just doing that. I was working with my two best friends and being a wife and a mama. And I was actually at work one day, and I got a call in the middle of my lunch from Joe Thrasher. He was the athletic director at our school. And when you get a call at lunch, you answer it because your kid's probably in trouble. And he called me and said, Amanda, Millie, my middle one, she wants to go to Guatemala this year with the school. We're going, Hartfield's going, but she's not old enough. And I was like, well, good, because she wasn't going. So that's great. Problem solved. He said, but we're going to be taking a group of families this summer, and I really want you to pray about taking Millie with you and letting us go. And so I said, okay, I can do that. I can pray. But I knew the answer because my heart was just not for missions. I mean, I knew, like, I'd been told this at church, so I knew it was true. You pray for missions, you can support missions, but you do not have to go on a mission trip. So I kind of held that in my heart. I don't have to go on a trip. And I have a heart for other things. Like, I really did have a heart for adoption. I used to tell my friends and family, I would love to adopt a little girl from China one day, and I'm going to name her Evelyn. And that was kind of my little story. But I just didn't want to go on a mission trip. So I said, yes, Joe, I'll pray. And I did that quick little prayer, you know, the one that you just say, okay, God, convict me if I need to get on a mission trip, and you go back to life. So that's what I did. And he did it immediately. So much so, I walked back into my lunch, and the doctor I'm having lunch with, I was like, that was the athletic director calling me in the middle of the day asking me to go to Guatemala. And she was like, well, now isn't Millie like your tomboy daddy's girl? Like, wouldn't this be a great opportunity for you and Millie to have some time together? And I'm like, okay, stop, God. Don't do that. And then my mother-in-law called me, and I told her what happened. And she's like, well, I'm going to pray about it right now. And she called me back. She said, well, God told me you're supposed to go. And it was just, no, that's not, I said that quick prayer, I didn't really mean it. But he got on me so bad that day, so much so that by the end of the day, when I got home from work, I decided I'm supposed to take Millie to Guatemala, and I just need to tell Jarrett. So I went home and I told him that we were going, and he said, you are absolutely not taking my 14-year-old daughter to Guatemala. And I said, okay, well, I'm not taking your 14-year-old daughter to Guatemala. I'm taking all three of our daughters to Guatemala. And he was not happy about it, but, and you know, I've always said this, like I've been taught the submissive wife thing. I believe it, but I've told him this a few times, like God trumps you. And when God gets on my heart about something, I'm sorry, but you're going to just have to deal with it. And that's kind of what we did. He was not happy, but I was going and he knew I was going. So we go on our first mission trip, and it really was. It was a beautiful trip. Millie, I really did that week see Millie's heart for mission. She loved those babies. She walked them up and down the hall. She held them and cried. Like, she needed to be there, and it was a beautiful trip. But I brought staph infection home on my face. And it was the biggest told you so moment, because when I got home from the airport and Jarrett picked us up, he just said, "Good night, what have you brought home to me?" And it took about, 2 months? I was working with these girls and they would tell me, "You have to go home. Like, you can't go see customers like this." It was everywhere. I was going to dermatologists. It took a long time to get it cleared up. Fast forward the next year when Joe calls me and asks me to go, I said, "I'm not praying about it. Absolutely not. Like, forget it." He's like, "But Millie wants to go back." And I said, "Well, you better call her daddy." So he called her dad. They talked. I think Jarrett just couldn't say no. So he said, "Yeah, I'll go." And we paid the deposit, and Millie and Jarrett were going on a mission trip. And I was like, "This is great. I'm off the hook." And I remember we were riding down the road, and I got an email or a message that said, "You need to book your tickets. It's time to book our plane tickets." And Jarrett just completely changed his entire attitude. He was like, "I'm not going. I'm not called. Absolutely. I will not be going to Guatemala. Sorry." And I was just completely shocked. "What do you mean? You've already committed. You're going to break Millie's heart, and she's your baby. Like, you can't do that to her." And he was like, it was just like completely hardened heart about it. So if anybody knows me, I do not waste money. And we had put down a deposit, and I was not, it, we were, somebody was going to Guatemala with Millie. Of course, it was going to be me. And I know now that it's because God had it planned and knew I had to be there. Because the first thing we did after that 3-hour bus ride to the children's home is Millie ran straight to the nursery. And laying in that bed with a little nameplate over a crib was a 12-week-old baby named Evelyn. And Martha was with us on the trip, and Dana too. I felt like a confused little teenager, so hard, in love. I couldn't think. I couldn't stop. It was like our eyes met, and I just knew I'm supposed to take this baby home. I think I was talking to Catherine. We said that's when, like, Operation Save Evelyn began, literally that day. I was like, "I know senators. I know congressmen. We're going to change the laws. And if we don't, I know a guy that has a plane. And we're going to get this baby out of here." And I came home on a mission. So Jarrett, after about 3 weeks, he was like, "Amanda, you're literally on the phone with the State Department. And I've never met this baby. You're bringing her home. You're adopting her. And I've never met her. I guess I have to go to Guatemala." We went to Guatemala, and we spent 3 days there. And he was worse than I ever was. When I tell you, I had to drag him out of that children's home. And I'll just say it was a very emotional 3-hour trip back to the airport, and it wasn't me with all the emotions. He cried like a baby. So we came home, and for the next 2 years, we were on a mission. We were going to get Evelyn, and we spent every vacation day, every holiday, the money, all of our extra money getting to this baby. I was selling Guatemalan leather bags. My friend said, "Amanda, can you sell drugs today and not bags, please?" They were so tired of me selling this leather so that I could give money back to the orphanage, just anything I could do to get close to Esther. And we did this for 2 years, but we were getting nowhere. We had just gone to celebrate her second birthday, and we had a great little trip. And the day after we came back, I was at Millie's track meet, and I get a phone call from Guatemala. And so, of course, answer it, and it's the lady that ran the children's home. And she just very matter-of-factly said, "I wanted to let you know that Evelyn is gone. We found her aunt and uncle. She's going to live in the city with them, and you will not ever see her again." And she said, "We've talked about this over the past 2 years, Amanda. You knew adoption was closed, and you know, your mission when you were in Guatemala was not to bring a baby home. It was to feed into these children so that they can be good humans and that they can make Guatemala a better place. But you knew you couldn't bring this baby home." So she literally said to me before she hung up, "You need to mourn this like a death, and you need to move on with your life. And by the way, we hope you come back and support the orphanage." So that was not going to sit with me. I decided, especially after I saw a picture of Evelyn and these mean, scary strangers that had taken her away on Facebook, I decided we had to go get her. We had to go find her. We had no idea where she was. All we knew, she's in the city. But Jarrett was pretty on board. The people that were not were our family and our friends. They were like, "Okay, this has been cute, this has been sweet, but you've lost your mind now. You cannot go to Guatemala City, two Americans looking for a Guatemalan baby. That's not safe. You have children and the, you know, here you've got to think about, you can't go. So we were super torn, but we just felt like God promised us all through those years. I remember I used to walk and sing that ocean song as I'd carry Evelyn. And it said, you know, Spirit lead me where my feet cannot wander. And I just knew that God was telling me, I promised you this baby and I'm going to get her for you. But it just wasn't going to be as easy as we had thought. It wasn't going to be on an airplane. We went to church that Sunday, and of course the sermon was on the promised land and the 12 spies and the two spies that went and said, we can go, we can enter. And Jarrett and I were both convinced we are those spies. Like, we're the two spies. We're going to go and we're going to find this baby. And so we set our trip, bought our tickets. And the day before we left was like a big work day for me. My boss's boss came in to ride with me. And he was going to spend the whole day in town with me. And so I was reluctantly through the day kind of telling him this story because I didn't want him to think I was too crazy. But I was just kind of telling him what we were, you know, tomorrow we're going to Guatemala City to try to find a baby we lost. When I'm dropping him off at the airport, he looks at me and he says, Amanda, can I pray for you? And of course you can. And he prays those prayers like that I wish I could pray, like those commanding prayers. You know, the ones like, it's not like, Jesus, would you, could you, if it's your will, maybe. He's like, God, we command in Jesus' name that she find this baby on day two. Amen. And it was just strong. He was yelling in my car. And he said, amen. And I looked over and I said, Eric, day two is my birthday. And he said, well, send me a picture of you and that baby on your birthday. We get to Guatemala and God sent so many people ahead of us that we just didn't realize at the time. But Millie, totally unrelated, had an exchange student from Guatemala City that had come to Hartfield. His name was Joseph. And they had kind of kept up after he had gone back to the city through Snapchat. And, you know, Jarrett and I, we couldn't speak a lick of English. We didn't know where to stay. We didn't know what we were even going to do when we got there. So Millie said, let me reach out to Joseph and just see if he has, like, some advice for you. I said, oh, that'd be great. Anything he could help us with. Well, Joseph says, absolutely. My dad is a pastor in the city, and we will do anything we can to help you. We'll translate for you. We'll help you as much as we can, but we cannot be there until day two. So we said, look, we'll take whatever we can get. Absolutely. Thank you. We'll meet you on day two. So day one, we get there. And another just little blessing from God, we get a driver. The hotel calls a car for us, and when we get in, the driver speaks English. Thank you, Lord. Like, he can understand what we're doing. So we start telling him our story, and y'all, he is all in. Like, he is like, we're going to find this baby. He is parking the car, walking into little markets with us, showing them the picture. The only thing we have is printed out Evelyn and these scary strangers she's with. And he's showing everybody the pictures. But they are not interested. They are like, these crazy Americans, I'm not telling them anything. Until this one sweet little lady, she was selling vegetables at a table, and she said, I know these people. I know that couple, and I know that baby, and I'll show you where their house is. So we bought literally all the vegetables she has, and we put her and her newborn baby in the car, and she rides with us to this house. And Jarrett and I are just beside ourselves, so excited, until we pull up at the house, and immediately I see who she thought were Evelyn's aunt and uncle, and I knew that that's not them. So we have a trunk full of groceries. We have to take this lady and her baby back to the market and drop her off, and we're both just deflated and hopeless. And we're, you know, walking around, kind of looking, trying to see if we... It's one of those things where every little girl looked like Evelyn, you know, and there she is, you know, but just nothing produced itself that first day. So Joseph said, hey, my dad would like to come meet y'all late this afternoon and let's have some coffee and kind of get a game plan for tomorrow. So we meet at the coffee shop and he's like, just let me drive you around and kind of get an idea of where y'all have gone today so we'll know where to start tomorrow. So we're driving around and Mario was Joseph's dad. Mario says, look, I'm going to stay in the car. Y'all go look through this little park. And there happens to be a police station in the park. And the policemen standing out wave us in. I'm like, oh no, this is it. Like, we're done for. We've got a picture of a Guatemalan baby, and these two Americans are walking around this park. So thank God. Another way God protected us is Yosef was with us, so he could actually like translate and tell the police officers what was going on, or we might not be sitting here today. So we totally deflated, tired, felt hopeless. We're driving back to our hotel, and Mario needs to stop and get gas. So while we're at the gas station, I get a message on my phone. We had been giving everybody my number, any pastor of the church, anybody we saw that looked like they might could help us. And at that gas station, I get a message, and it says, we have found a lady that says she got a baby from Solala, and that's where the children's home was, and here's her number, and that's all it said. And so Mario calls her, and they are talking a lot of Spanish, and Jarrett and I are just staring, like, what's going on? And he hangs up the phone, and he says, she just got a baby from an orphanage in Solala, and she says you can come to her house tomorrow at 2. So talk about the longest, 12 hours of my life. We spent the next morning, which was my birthday, basically planning how I was going to live in Guatemala and take care of Evelyn when we saved her from these scary strangers. And finally, 1 o'clock comes, because it's about an hour drive to where they say this lady's house is. And Mario tells us, look, I've had an emergency meeting come up, but I'll send a driver and Yosef to get you to this house. So we drive the hour and we start getting into her neighborhood, and y'all, her neighborhood is sad. Like, it's just a sad little place. So much so that when we're about to pull onto her street, we can't get onto the road because there's just cars, old beat up cars parked like this high. So the driver says, you've got to, probably gonna have to walk. I'll let you out here and y'all can, you know, it's just right around the corner. So I start walking, Jarrett's behind me, Yosef's behind him, and I hear Jarrett say, there's your baby. And she's just playing in the street. Something comes over me, y'all, I start running for her. And she turns around and she runs away from me. And she runs straight to Paola, who is her aunt. And she just jumps up into her arms. And it was like such a realization for me at that moment. Like, she loves her. Like, that lady that took her from that orphanage, she loves her. And I'm the scary stranger now. So I compose myself, and Paola takes Evelyn and just sits on the sidewalk and puts Evelyn in her lap. And Yosef, she's got the papers, you know, from when she took custody of her. And we're talking and we're sharing, you know, our story. And Evelyn's sitting in her lap on the ground. And Evelyn just all of a sudden stands up, turns her little butt around, and plops down in my lap. And it's like she realized, like, okay, I know this lady. She loves me. We just spent the next 3 days literally becoming a family with Paola and her husband Victor, and they have 2 sons and a daughter. And Evelyn was there, and a lot of neighborhood kids were there. And we just spent the next 3 days just loving on each other, getting to know each other, finding out how we could help them. And we went home with just like such a total peace. And we'd gotten them a cell phone. We were starting to communicate with them through WhatsApp. So they'd send us pictures and messages, and we were talking to her every day. It was like we'd gone back several times to see her again, and she was growing up. And it was just like, okay, you know, things are going to be fine. And then COVID hits. And thank God for WhatsApp and Google Translate, because we couldn't go back anymore. Things were shut down. We couldn't see her anymore. And Paola and Victor, like every American family did during COVID, started to do some construction on their home. So Victor was going to add a room to the house, and Paula and Evelyn were going to go visit her mother in another city. And, you know, they're sending us pictures of their trip and of Evelyn's, you know, grandmother. And I get a message that says, from Paula, that says, I've been given a 7-week-old baby, and I don't know what to do. And Jared had just gotten home from work, and we sat on the front steps, and we just prayed, and we knew right away God put Paola in Evelyn's life, and she's taken such wonderful care of her that we just do whatever we need to do to make sure that she can take care of this baby too. So I responded immediately, we'll do whatever we can to help. If you want to take care of her, if you want to keep her, you know, we'll help you all that we can from here. And she said, I really do. I want to keep her. So I said, well, tell us, you know, show it, send us a picture. Tell us her name. And she said, well, we don't have a name. I want you to name her. I don't know a lot of Bible verses. I know a lot of Bible stories. And my favorite story in the Bible is Esther. She saved her people, and she was created for a time such as this. And that's what I felt like Esther was. Like, this is the point of all of this, because I felt so at times abandoned by God. Like, what have you done? You've made me go 2,000 miles to chase this baby because I knew this was what you wanted, and then you didn't give her to me. And now I have two. So it just all made sense. So we had little Esther. We got to go see her once. And then, you know, COVID's starting to end and things are opening up a little more. And Mallory announces to me, well, she gets engaged. And then she announces to me that she wants Evelyn to be her flower girl. So I was like, well, that's impossible. It would already be impossible, but even more so with COVID. You'd have to get married in Guatemala. So that's what she did. We took 50 of our closest friends and family, and they all got to meet Evelyn and Esther. And we just spent the most beautiful 3 days loving on each other. My dad's holding Esther. I mean, nobody can communicate, you know. My niece and Evelyn and Esther are playing and coloring. I'm like, they can't even speak to each other, and they're best friends. It was just the most beautiful, precious weekend, and just picture of, like, God's plans are so much better than ours, because I wanted that baby here with me. And if she would have come, I would have never met Esther, and I wouldn't have two babies and a whole family in Guatemala. So we found out at the wedding that Esther was actually a product of abuse. It was a 17-year-old little girl whose a family friend had been abusing, and he told the girl, if you don't get rid of this baby, then I'm going to smother her. He had very specific plans, and God saved that situation. And if we would have brought Evelyn here, we would have never gotten to experience or see that. So it just taught me such a lesson of, like, hope. Like, and, you know, we say God has a hope and a plan for us, and he did, but we forget sometimes that he also had a hope and a plan for Evelyn and Esther. And it's just such a perfect reminder of, like, his plans are just bigger and better than ours. So Evelyn's learning English. It's so fun. And she's teaching Esther English. So there, she'll call me and she'll say, Amanda, I love you. I brush my teeth. I wash my hair. I go to sleep. And then you can hear Esther in the background trying to mimic some of those words. So my hope now is just maybe one day she comes and she visits and maybe comes to school here for a little while. I don't know, but she'll be able to tell y'all this story herself. But we'll see. So, like Catherine told me in the beginning, hold on, this is a roller coaster of a story, and I hope it never ends.
Whew, that was definitely a roller coaster of a story. And I've mentioned before, I really listened to these stories blindly, and I wanted more. I was like, are you kidding?
What this happened then?
Where am I getting next week's episode? I mean, I wanted to hear more from feisty Amanda, who, baby, when she locked eyes with that little baby and God placed that dream in her heart, as my mother would say, Katie, bar the door. Because, honey, she was on a mission, and baby Evelyn was her mission.
I've never heard a story like this. I've kept putting myself in her place going, I would never. But man, isn't that what you want? Of, like, somebody chasing after the Lord.
The courage.
Just what she can Amanda
fearless.
Accomplish
fearless.
In life?
And if I get staff on my face, I'm not going back.
But it does speak to, just like she had such a determination within her. Y'all, when she got the call that the baby was gone, baby Evelyn was gone, the courage that she had to go and find this baby on the streets of Guatemala. I was like, who does that? I mean, that's where I was like, the Irwin brothers, you know, get them on the phone.
And it reminds you of how God comes and finds us.
Yes.
I love
like,
that.
Like, he will find the one.
That's
just
right.
Relentless.
I thought her story was also just so profound in the fact that we see just right in front of us. We want God to act on our behalf after our prayers are said, because she had great prayers. I want to save this baby, and you need to act on it. Why wouldn't you act? But there were so many layers going on in that story that she could have never seen, but God does. And it was just a reminder to me of just this idea. And we've talked about this. I mean, you know, we want a blueprint of what God is doing in our story.
Yes,
we want to see the end of it, but he only allows us to see right now and trust him in the details of everything else. And I thought that that was just so profound in her story, just the gift that he gave her in Evelyn and Esther at the end.
And you know, she said towards the end that God has a hope and a plan for us, but sometimes I forget that he has plans for other people too. And I really appreciated that because she is chasing after this child. And the truth was, she was supposed to stay with her family in Guatemala. And I love the fact that Amanda recognized that so quickly. Mm-hmm. What a change when you're just going so hard after something that you feel like God's called you to. And he's like, no, that's not quite how this is supposed to go. And that he has plans for us, but he had plans for Evelyn and Esther too.
And how she said, how she said she thought of who Evelyn was with as the scary people.
Right.
And then she flipped in and said, I realized we were the scary people. You know, in that moment of just, oh, there's other things going on, God, here.
Well, I hope that y'all had as much fun listening to Amanda's story as we did. I don't know that it was fun for her, but maybe it was. She was really exciting to listen to. But what a challenge that I think we can all walk away with this week is, one, Lindy, I just really appreciate how you said God chases us like that. You know, where is God chasing you? And two, what are we doing out of a radical faith to chase after what God has for us? I felt really challenged. Such an encouraging story to listen to. So I hope y'all have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.